J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
What do you think it is, robot?
I compute it to be an ionic directional probe, a radio beam searching for receiving outlets.
You mean someone's trying to reach us?
Someone is trying to reach any radio receiver.
Well, maybe they're in trouble. We'd better help them.
No, William, don't. We have no way of knowing who it is out there. They might be terrible people.
Dr. Smith, whoever they are, they're in trouble or something. We can't just stand here and do nothing.
Why not?
This is the Jupiter 2. Identify yourself, please.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Gotta be careful sending me messages where you say something really, really snotty and disrespectful, because I might do it right back to you. And then you go crying to the management, or you go crying to the newspaper. He called me a Nazi cow. Like, what'd you call me? Huh? Let's go back and look at that. How you doing, kids? That little bit of housekeeping needed to be done right there. It is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Hi, you're at jconline.com. I'm exhausted from the radio show this morning because it was just one thing after another on the weather here with the severe thunderstorms. Looks like we had some downed power lines and trees in the Tower Grove area, and
where else?
On Big Bend in Clayton. And then something happened as the storms went across the metro and into the metro east. They seemed to pick up a little intensity, and there were reportedly four different tornadoes either spotted from people looking at them from the ground or on radar. So it looks like metro east got the brunt of this whole thing today. Now, this depends on when you're listening to the podcast. A lot of people don't listen to it until at night, or in some cases the next day, or sometimes you binge on the weekend. We know that from looking at our diagnostics. But if you are listening before 3 o'clock in the afternoon on today, Thursday, the 14th of March, watch out, because anytime after 3 o'clock today, they just bumped us from a level 2 to a level 3 now. The worst of it is still to the southwest of us, down around Springfield, and then you get into northwestern Arkansas and parts of Oklahoma and almost all the way to Dallas. That's where the real dark red is. But they just bumped us. It started out as a 1 2 days ago. Then they bumped us to a 2 yesterday. And a little while ago, they just bumped us to a 3. That's out of 5. And in particular, they're talking about hail. And this storm has had a history of producing large hail, golf ball-sized hail. That'll wake you up. I had about, I think it was, what was it, 46? It was either $3,600 or $4,600 worth of hail damage to a car I have. And I was living in Olivet about 10 years ago. Insurance paid for it, but man, you know, I had a friend, she doesn't live in Creve-Coeur anymore, but she did at the time, and she was dating one of those guys who comes in from out of town because there are storm chaser companies that look at hail storms, and then they flood the area with representatives from their dent service company. So in other words, there's some guy sitting in, I don't know, Chicago, and they look and they go, all right, we just had a big hailstorm in St. Louis. Everybody get in your trucks and head for St. Louis because there is gold in them there hills. And that guy was pulling down $300,000 plus a year doing dent removal. You know, because a lot of the dents can be fixed with those like little suction cup type things. And if you've got the right equipment and the know-how, you can do that without it being, you know, any major catastrophe in your life. But this guy was just running around, and he would spend, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months in one city. And then there'd be another hailstorm in, I don't know, Colorado, and he would go there. And that's how he lived his life. He probably won't do that very long. I don't think you could live your life very efficiently that way. But you know, he was a young guy. He was in his early 30s. $350,000 a year removing dents. I got in the wrong business. One of my favorite stories is back when we were at 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station, back in the 80s and early 90s. We had one saleswoman who, she didn't have a lot of experience, and so she was having trouble selling. So when that happens, a lot of times salespeople will come up with nutty ideas, wacky ideas. They call it NTR, non-traditional revenue. Which basically means you come up with an idea, something other than, and we'll be right back after these messages. And then you hear a bunch of commercials and that's that. In the case of NTR, non-traditional revenue, it usually has something to do with maybe an appearance at a store or maybe a contest or just some, you know, invented way of trying to make money. And this woman came to me and said, I'm working on a new client, and I think I can get him to sign if you'll work with him. I was like, oh, really? What would they like me to do? Well, what we will do is pull dents out of your car, and then you'll talk about it on the air. And I said, well, I mean, I just bought this. I remember I told you about this yesterday. It was probably the one time in my life that I really splurged. Back in those days, because I saved my money. I went so long without making any money that when I finally got some, it was like, I'm holding on to it. So I put everything in the bank, everything in the bank. My accountant once said to me, if you were a girl, I would marry you because I saved my money so much. But I did splurge one time and I bought myself a Mercedes-Benz 560 SL ragtop convertible. That was the one time I really just said, I'm going to spend a little money here. And so I did. And I mentioned this to her. I was like, well, I mean, this car is relatively new. I don't have any dents in it. And she said, are you ready? She said, oh, that's okay. We'll put dents in the car so they can remove them. This was her idea. I paid $53,000 for this car, and you're going to put dents in it so that you can remove the dents. Get out of here! This was the same woman who, again, trying to sort of think outside the box a little bit, went to some bungee jumping company. She's going for all the big clients, you know, some bungee. All right, we would like you to bungee jump. And then you'll talk about it on the air in the commercials. It's like, yeah. Remember a couple of months ago when I was off the air for about 2 weeks because I had had a fusion in my neck? And I had to wear a big plastic Jerry's Kids neck brace for 4 months and then a soft cast for a month after that. You remember that? Can you understand how bungee jumping might not exactly be what the doctor ordered? Many, many years ago, I don't know what it was. I don't know how something got this started, but somebody started this thing. Oh, JC's got a reputation for being anti-sales. Anti-sales. Like, not anti-sales. I'm anti-stupid salespeople. You know, by the time I got to St. Louis in 1984, I had been in the business 10 years. And, you know, a lot of times you're in some city where you don't know a soul. You know, it's like there's a job in Grand Rapids. Okay, I'll move there. Now you move there, you don't know anybody. And sometimes the only people you see are the people you see at work. And so for years, I would always end up dating some girl in the sales department. And I would, I guess the word is, routinely have difficulty with my love life. And once I stopped dating women from radio station sales departments, things sort of picked up a little bit for me. And I started doing a lot better. You live and you learn. St. Louis University looking for a new head basketball coach. Bills lost to Duquesne last night, and apparently that was it. Travis Ford out at SLU. It's going to be in the 80s in Florida this week, and the Redbirds play to a 1-1 tie with Minnesota in Fort Myers yesterday. Dylan Carlson, dead center, home run, Cardinals only run. Lance Lynn gets the start against the Mets today. It'll be on Bally's. Blues won again last night. That's now a two-game winning streak. They beat the Kings 3-1. Minnesota's here on Saturday night. College hoops, Mizzou loses to Georgia 64-59. Joe Flacco signs a one-year deal with Indianapolis. The NCAA brackets come out on Sunday. The Battlehawks say they have a major announcement today. And in one of the weirdest stories in a while, Aroldis Chapman. Now, this guy's thrown 99, 100. I think he got up to 103 once. He pitched for Florida. He pitched for the Cubs, pitched for the Yankees, I guess, and then Pittsburgh. And yesterday he posted a video where he is lying on a couch with an older woman. That in and of itself was unusual, I guess you would say. But in the picture, he was also squeezing her boobs, which made it even more unique. But the thing that put it over the top, I think you'll agree, is that it turns out that this woman that he was lying on the couch with, squeezing the boobs, was his mother. Sometimes in the off season, you know, pitchers like to work on their grip. Good morning, everybody. I remember having a conversation with Dave Murray about this on the air back in the old K-Hits days. And, you know, when they point to you and they go, Dave, you're on in 30 seconds with the weather, and then boom, you're on and you're on television. If something goes wrong, like you hear a gurgling and a rumbling in your lower abdomen, for example, I think you know what I'm talking about here. What do you do? Plus, you're in a suit. It's not like you could just pull a pair of shorts down or something like that. You're in a suit. So that delays the process a couple of additional seconds. And sometimes you don't have those additional seconds, if you know what I mean. And he said he had a couple of close calls. You have to be careful in certain jobs when you eat and what you eat. I had a morning guy in Grand Rapids, and he said he had to have breakfast every morning at the same time. Otherwise, he would get diarrhea right in the middle of Paul Harvey. This is a true story. His name was Regis Bowman, and he said, if I don't eat breakfast at the same time, I got a poop during Paul Harvey, which was at 8:25. There have been many times I suffered illness listening to Paul Harvey, but it didn't have anything to do with whether or not I ate breakfast. And there was a famous picture of Fergie on stage with the Black Eyed Peas. It sure looked like she was wearing like a teal pair of very tight pants, almost like yoga pants. And there's this big, giant wet spot while she's on stage. And about the only thing you could surmise is that she had to go. She can't just walk off the stage in the middle of a performance of the Black Eyed Peas. You know, when you got to go, you got to go. And I mention all of this because this guy, Jason Derulo, had a big hit maybe, I want to say, 6-7 years ago. I don't know if he's still around. But anyhow, he was doing a show in England and stopped mid-song. Didn't even wait till the song was over because he had to go to the bathroom. He actually asked the audience for permission first. They booed him. He was like, fuck it, I'm doing it anyhow. I just thought it was a courtesy. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to explain this, why I'm leaving the stage. Don't anybody leave. I'm coming back. They booed him anyhow. And I tell all of those stories intertwine, because this is the anniversary of something I would prefer to have forgotten. But it was on this date in 1986, and I was right in the middle of the old morning zoo. I remember John was off that day, and I believe it was Drew Johnson who was filling in for John, so he was doing the news. And it was a good thing, because at 7:45, I heaved big time. There was a trash can right under the control board, right under the controls, and I filled it. And a lot of times after you puke, you feel better. And in this case, I felt worse. And I didn't even make the decision. My body just went there to the floor. I laid down right in the studio, right there in the studios in Crestwood on Watson Road. And I laid down on the floor because I was sick. And Drew came in and took over the remainder of the show and explained to people that I'd gotten sick in the middle of the show. And I laid there for probably a good hour, hour and a half. And it was interesting back in those days because our sales offices were up in another building up a little hill, I would say maybe about 100 feet. But those salespeople all came down and looked through the window because they wanted to see me laying on the floor because they heard what had happened. And they wanted to see it with their own two eyes. Because back in those days, when I would do stuff, people were never really sure if I was kidding or not. So sometimes when like this, I'm actually sick. It's like, hey, if you don't believe me, go check the trash can. So that stuff, you know, it really does happen. And when it happens, sometimes, you know, like they say, when nature calls, and usually they mean you got to pee or you got to poop. But sometimes nature calls and says, yeah, whatever you ate, I am rejecting. This is your body speaking. Have a nice day. And I still remember that I went home. You're just like trying to, you want to get in your own bed. You just want to get in your own bed. And so I was sick as a dog. My face was like, had like a bluish tint to it. And I remember I got back home. Luckily, I didn't live too far away in those days. Got back home. I slept the entire day. I woke up just in time for Miami Vice. Why was that important? Because it was on this date in 1986 that the episode called Payback with Frank Zappa, who played a drug lord, well, I was in that show. That was that show where the NBC people came to us and said, tell you what, you grab a contest winner, you have some sort of contest, bring that person along, they get to be on that, on Miami Vice, and so do you. We'll put you in a scene, you'll be extras, and isn't that cool? And we're like, yeah. I mean, especially since Miami Vice was about the biggest show on television back then. So I woke up, watched Miami Vice, 4 whole seconds I was on screen. 4 whole seconds. It was a nighttime pool party scene, and they dressed us up and put us in makeup and the whole thing, and we stood around for hours, and I mean hours, and they eventually shot the scene. Don Johnson was in, Don Johnson was out, and that was the end of that. But I got on camera, and people teased me about it. It's like, hey, I was on national TV 4 seconds longer than you were. It was on this date, 1987, that the people down on the riverfront figured out, I guess people's craving for entertainment on the riverfront is different in 1987 than it was in 1967. And a lot of people lost a lot of money when they tried to reopen the Admiral. And they had singers and dancers and banjo players. And I guess they figured, hey, you know, the old prom days and everything. It's like, you know, we had all these people going up and down the river on the Admiral singing and dancing and having a great time. And it didn't work this time. I think the whole thing was over in less than a year. Man, can't imagine how much money was lost there. Maybe not as much as the amount of money lost on the people who invested in St. Louis Center, but a lot. 1988. The people at Channel 5 came to me and said, hey, look, Fox Theater is going to pick up the tab, and here's the deal. There's a production of Me and My Girl coming into the Fox Theater in a couple of months. It's being performed in Denver right now. Tim Curry from Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of the leads in the whole thing. And what they want to do is they want to send you to Denver to see the show, and then you'll interview the stars of the show, and then you'll bring those tapes back here. We'll put them on Channel 5, and then ticket sales will just go wild, right? So they did. So I got on a plane. I got a free trip to Denver out of the deal. And I still remember I had a friend living there, and she and I went out, and you know, she was sort of showing me the sights. And they had just built all of these skyscrapers. I mean, these big office buildings and everything with nobody in them. No tenants. Because they had built these big office buildings while the oil industry, which is real big in Colorado, was booming. But this was 1988. You may recall there was a little crash where some of us lost a lot of money, and a lot of it centered on the oil industry. And so they built the buildings, figuring we'll build them and they will come. And they built them and they're like, we are broke. We can't come. But Denver's a good-looking city if you know where to go. 1993, on tomorrow's date, because we don't do a podcast now until next Monday, so we're wrapping up everything for the weekend, made my debut on KMOX, 53 illustrious days, and one of the few times we got let into the St. Patrick's Day Parade was on tomorrow's date, 1997. Those people are wound a little tight with the St. Patrick's Day Parade. You know, you think of the word parade. It's festive. It's happy. And when you were a little kid, you used to love to go to a parade. Look at this. It's a parade. But behind the scenes, I'm telling you, the people who put these parades on, geez, you'd think it was the fucking presidential motorcade. It's a parade. Take it easy. And because we have St. Patrick's Day coming up on Sunday, 2 stories to go with it, then I'll get to some new stuff. It is on the bucket list of every red-blooded American male. And you cannot think straight, you cannot sleep at night, you cannot go on with your life as that red-blooded American male until it happens. It being menage a trois, a three-way. Now, a lot of times you go to college, sometimes it'll happen there, and a lot of times in college it won't, and you're still waiting. And in this particular case, 1988, as we would often do for St. Patrick's Day, we did a live remote broadcast. back in 84 when I got to St. Louis, nobody was doing anything like that. And we started doing it. Now, of course, everybody copied it. And now everybody does a St. Patrick's Day thing. But it was still relatively new for us back in 1988. We picked out Houlihan's in West County. And we set up there. And I still remember my old pal Bob Lieberman, who was my Warner Brothers movie studio representative in St. Louis, said, "Hey, I got this guy. He's going to be like the next really big action star. Can we bring him by for your live broadcast?" I was like, "Sure, why not? It's a party. It's St. Patrick's Day. We'll go nuts." So they bring him in, and I go, "What's this guy's name again?" He says, Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal. "Oh, no, no, it's not Seagal. It's, he pronounces it Seagal." And so sure enough, in walks Steven Seagal. Nobody knew who he was. The first movie he made had not come out yet. I don't think he sort of knew what to make of what was going on. It's a St. Patrick's Day live radio show, and they're bringing him in. The place is absolutely packed. And we interviewed him anyhow, and it's like, "Oh, we didn't know you were going to turn out to be Steven Seagal. We probably would have made a bigger deal out of it." And in a moment that I will never, ever forget, because to this day I'm still trying to figure out what it meant. But when I took him back to Channel 5 later in the day, we were sitting there doing the interview, but we were sitting there just talking and screwing around for a big chunk of the time while we were waiting for a cameraman. And he says to me, "You know, if you lived in L.A., you and I would hang out." I was like, "Okay, really? What do you find so interesting about me?" I think he just thought I was funny. But I also had a funny looking grin on my face that day, because in between the end of the live broadcast in West County over at Houlihan's and that interview with Steven Seagal for TV later on in the day, in between those two events, yes, it happened. Now, a lot of guys, when they get their three-way, their obligatory three-way, and again, I can't impress upon you enough how much of your brain the whole idea of a three-way takes until it happens. You think about it all the time. We're guys. This is just how we're wired. We got to have a three-way. Got to have a three-way. And you hear about other guys that had them. And then you see the girls, like those two girls right there, those are the two. And you're like, "Wow, you lowered your standards." "Yeah, but it was a three-way." So that's what happened to a lot of guys. They were like, "Oh, these girls are not exactly a pair of oil paintings, as my dad used to say, but at least they got my three-way." Well, in my case, I had a pair of nines. I don't mind telling you. One of those girls lives in Florida, not too far from where the Cardinals have spring training. And the other girl lives in Southern California and is a big real estate mogul and is filthy rich. And they also don't like it when I bring that story up. It's like, "Come on, you were like 22. They still don't like bringing it up. But the most interesting thing happens, and I never would have seen this coming. Once you get your menage, you don't think about it anymore. It's like a weight lifted off your shoulders. Something that occupied a giant chunk of your brain for your entire life suddenly just sort of evaporates, and you don't really worry about it. You don't think about it. And you have no real desire, I guess the word is. You certainly don't go out of your way to try to make it happen again. You're just sort of thankful, appreciative, relieved, and you just sort of go on with your life. So see, the story has a happy ending. If you have a Swifty in the house, look out tonight. 8 o'clock St. Louis time on Disney Plus, Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour. And I don't know why this one interests me so much. Probably because it has Carla Gugino, who I consider to be one of the most sexy women on the planet. She's in this thing. A couple of other actresses play rival political reporters who end up bonding while sharing a bus to cover the presidential campaign trail. It's on Max tonight, The Girls on the Bus. I don't know. That sounds interesting to me. All right. As you know, I've gone head over heels in love with Kacey Musgraves. She'll be on Jimmy Fallon tonight, along with Deion Sanders. Oprah on Kimmel. Paul Rudd on with Seth Meyers. And Stephen Colbert's got Paul Simon. I do not understand this country's obsession with the royals. I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I don't think I ever will. That having been said, they're making it unavoidable talk about it because it's like, Princess Kate or whatever the hell title she has, she's having abdominal surgery and nobody's seen her for almost 4 months. And then she publishes a picture And it's got like four really, really crappy amateur Photoshop goof-ups in it. And nobody's seen Prince William for a long time. And what the hell is going on? And now people are wondering if any of it's true, because they're saying that Prince William might be having an affair. That seems to me to be what these people are best at, sitting around doing nothing except boinking one another in and out of marriage. Catherine O'Hara says the Beetlejuice sequel is going to bring back Harry Belafonte's Deo song. Kristen Wiig, oh, this is great, returning to Saturday Night Live to host on April 6th. Ryan Gosling comes back to host again on April 13th. This government needs an enema. Remember we were doing that pandemic relief? And if you could prove that you were, I don't know, running some sort of company and you had enough employees, government would be, oh, we want some money here. Here's a bunch of money. Oh, do I get a couple $100? No, no, no. A couple thousand? Oh, no, no. We'll give you millions. I get millions of dollars just because I'm a businessman and I have a company or some sort of corporation or something that that is hurting right now because of the pandemic. And the government, the good old Uncle Sam, is going to come along and give me money. Where do I sign up? And so a lot of people did. And a lot of people who didn't need the money also signed up. And a lot of those people got it anyhow, even though they didn't deserve it. Good luck trying to get it back, right? So these two singers, you know, these rap hip-hop guys, one is Lil Wayne, and the other was Post Malone. Not my kind of music, but you can't argue with the fact that they are popular with the people who follow them, and they sell out arenas, and they have billions of dollars. Lil Wayne got $9 million in pandemic relief. Post Malone got $10 million. And all they had to do was tell the government they ran drug-free workplaces. Almost $20 million handed out to hip-hop stars, millionaires. And it just makes me want to find out where their next concert is and then set a match to the place at the beginning of the show. See, again, this goes back to what I was talking about the other day. Nobody is afraid of doing anything illegal or embarrassing or anything because there's no shame anymore. People get caught doing something awful and people just laugh. And then Fox gives them their own TV show. There's no shame. Look at this fucking guy in New York, George Santos, who lied about who he was, what his name was, all this sort of stuff. He gets elected to Congress. They figure it out. They kick him out. And he shows up at the State of the Union address the other night. How he got in, I don't know. And he says, I'm going to run again. There's no shame anymore. Simone Biles having a birthday today. She's 27. Steph Curry, 36. Sasha Gray. There's somebody who actually did a half-decent job of something that has been almost impossible for anybody else to do, and that is to go from the porn industry into legitimate entertainment. Sasha Gray did it. She's 36 today. Man, does she have a lot of miles on her for 36. Jesus. Billy Crystal, 76. Quincy Jones, 91. Michael Caine, 91. I don't think I've ever known an exhibitionist. They insist there are people who are exhibitionists, but no matter how much of an exhibitionist you are, there are some things that just can't be comfortable to do naked, and one of them is jumping jacks. 27-year-old woman in South Carolina named Alexis Harnett was arrested on March 2nd after a neighbor complained that she was in her front yard screaming and doing jumping jacks topless. They even showed video of the incident to the police. The neighbor has two young kids. There's no fence or anything else that would prevent people from seeing into her yard. It's unclear what Alexis was doing. There's no mention of drugs or anything else going on at the time, but she has harassed other neighbors in the past. In November, she and her boyfriend were accused of burning a cross, allegedly to intimidate some black neighbors. Anyhow, Alexis arrested and charged with one count of obscene exposure. I made the mistake of looking this story up to see what Alexis looked like. I think you can pretty much guess. And from South Carolina, we go to Florida, where a woman was arrested for breaking into her ex's home and throwing Sprite and pickled pork at him. I don't know. In her defense, that's barely worse service than I got from DoorDash last night. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, March 14th, 2024 is in the can. That's it now. Until next week, we're back on Monday, but we'll be back on the air tomorrow morning at 101.5 in St. Louis, 101.7 West, and streaming at kwolf.com with the Morning Showgram. If you want to listen to any of the previous episodes of this here thing, we archive them all here at jcontheline.com. And if you want to spread the word, we won't object to that either. Let people know that we're here doing this every day and that it's absolutely free at jcontheline.com. Always reach me via email, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.